Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on this adeem great and great night full of blessings, extreme blessings, Allah ta'ala has gathered us all, assembled us all for His remembrance, for His dhikr. And this is a great favor of us, of Allah upon us, a very great favor of Allah upon us. It's such a great favor and blessing and ni'mat that words cannot be expressed on our tongue, that even if our whole body was to express the gratefulness, we could not do that. We could not do that, let alone the tongue. And alongside that, on top of dhikr, remembering Allah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to have some fikr, to have some concern. And so we look at our life. We are in a sort of so-called modern age, scientific age, speed of life. Who gets time to remember Allah? If we look back in the week, did we get any time where we could sit down and assess our condition? How good are we? How pious are we? How much life is left? How much life has passed? What will happen in our grave? Do we have any amal deed that will be useful to ourselves? How will we be forgiven? What sins are we committing? There are so many sins that the dunya doesn't know about our sins, but our Rabb Allah knows our sins, and we are in a very poor situation. We don't get an opportunity to sit down and assess in this way. So when Allah gathers us together, and when you pious individuals sit down, then my heart feels and says that we should sit and discuss such words and such scenarios that can do our tazkiyah, so that we can improve ourselves. Allah Ta'ala likes this when a person sits and worries and assesses his condition. Allah Ta'ala creates the means and the methods for that person to become good, pious, and to go into paradise. Now, otherwise, doesn't matter what situation a person's in. But if we look at sin now, sin, the action of sin, we say it's a small sin, but there's no such sin which is small. Because the effect of sin is that it adheres to a person's body or to himself, to a person. There are two ways to detach the sin from a person. Either Allah Ta'ala's fadl and His blessings and His mercy, and a person does tawbah and their sins are removed. Or otherwise we have the other scenario where a person doesn't get a chance to repent, then that's, or he doesn't understand that he's committed a sin and he doesn't realize that that action is a sin. Because that's dangerous as well today, isn't it? What's this? Is this a sin? That's not a sin. No, everyone does this. If we did this, so what? We say so easily, don't we? Oh, they're committing that sin. Other people are doing this. Doesn't matter. Everyone else is doing this. So if I do the same, what difference does it make, we say? But in other words, different thinking, different ideologies, and in different ways we decline or reject that something's a sin. But the sin doesn't get eliminated. The sin's still there. And when a person commits such sins and they're attached to a person's body, self, then Allah has prepared Jahannam, hellfire, which will purify a person from the sins. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from hellfire. May Allah give us the tawfiq that we eliminate and remove our sins here on planet earth whilst we're living. Now, guna kabira, the major sin, the major sins. The pious elders have stated that there's a sin greater than the kabira sins. In other words, all of the sins, they emanate from this sin. All of the roots of sin go to this sin. They derive from this major sin. And it's such a sin that wretched shaitan, whose mission is what? That I am not at ease. My stomach is not filled if I don't completely direct the individual to hellfire. If I don't destroy homes, if I don't spread fitna, fasad, and problems in society, and I don't want to give an opportunity to anyone to rectify himself. And if I don't have that as a conclusion, shaitan says, then I'm not at ease, I'm not satisfied. So wretched shaitan, his biggest tool or weapon is this sin. And this is what he uses to affect human beings. And I'll say this, please forgive me, that maybe in this day and age, maybe very few individuals be saved from this sin. Such a big sin this is. In some way or form, this sin is attached to us. And what is that sin, my friends, my brothers? A person who loses hope in the mercy of Allah, Allah's rahmah. A person who loses hope in the mercy of Allah. This is a very big sin. This is a major sin. A major sin, which leads to many other sins. This is an ajeeb and unique sin. Never will a person say that I've lost hope in Allah. Never will a person say this. But his actions demonstrate that he has lost hope. His condition demonstrates that he has lost hope in Allah. In the kitab of Allah, that person is recorded as that person who has lost hope in Allah, who has lost faith in Allah. And losing faith in Allah is a kabira, major sin. Why? Because all the sins we have, all of the sins emanate from this sin when a person loses hope and faith in Allah. When an individual ceases trusting in Allah and believing in Allah and that the solutions come from Allah, then he goes far from Allah. Goes so far from Allah that losing hope in Allah, shaitan takes a person so far from Allah that he makes that person a mushrik and a person without belief. All those people who don't believe in Allah, my friends, the sin behind all of that is the same sin, that they lose faith and hope and trust in Allah. When a person loses Allah's mercy and he loses Allah's fadl and his blessings, then that person, he's lost everything. What's the sign of this? Losing faith and hope in Allah. Every sin is derived from this sin. Now, losing faith in Allah, losing hope in Allah, in Allah's mercy and blessings, that shaitan, he makes that person lose hope in Allah. And how does he do that? That you have no one who is looking after you or protecting you. What's going to happen to you? He doesn't let a person succeed. That, because you're not succeeding in the world, doesn't matter what you do, but your desires will not be fulfilled. Look, do it in another way, do it in the wrong way, end the story, and you'll be fine. So then afterwards we'll see what we have to do. Even if you have to commit a sin or do a wrong action, then that insan, he loses hope in Allah, and he uses the wrong means and methods, and then he falls into more sin. For example, somebody has a shop, and he's got stock in the shop, and the shop is not running, there's no turnover, or the income is less than forecast. So what does a person do? He gets disappointed, unhappy with Allah. He's doing dua, he's praying, but the shop, the turnover stops, ceased, reduced, it becomes mayus, that individual. Loses hope in Allah, no faith, gets disappointed, gets sad. When he gets sad and disappointed, shaitan gives mashwara. Shaitan consults with the individual. Look, it's hard for you. Shop's not running well. You're going to fall into debt, etc. So what you should do now is like take a loan out from the bank, says Shaitan. Shaitan's advice. Then the man thinks, yeah, that's good. Let's take out a loan from the bank. Then he gets occupied and immersed in riba interest. He thinks, I'll get that loan, and I'll get the loan even if there's interest on it, but my shop will start to prosper. So he takes a loan, he borrows from the bank, he says, I'll see afterwards what to do. Then he falls into debt. And all of this that he's doing, what conditions he's doing this in? Due to being disappointed and losing faith and hope. And shaitan says, there's no one looking after you, no one's protecting you, no one's there to help you. Who's going to correct your affairs? Who's going to make your shop prosper? How's your business going to flourish? Where's your risk going to come from? You're in a bad state. Just do this and it'll solve you. So all the sins, they emanate, they derive from this state of disappointment and losing faith in Allah. Basically, the summary of sins is that when a person loses faith in hope in Allah, shaitan says, Allah's not going to help you. Don't worry. That person won't say this verbally, but unknowingly or unconsciously, he's accepted that in his heart. That when a person loses hope in Allah and he has places hope in superficial things, then there's no iman, no belief. If a person leaves hope and trust and faith in Allah, then he's got no iman. You do dua, pray salah, Allah Ta'ala will assist. But he leaves that. He says, no, my shop's not running. I prayed before. I did this before. Nothing's happening. So he commits the sin. So all sins, remember that. The story behind the sins is that a person commits a sin at that time when he realizes, or not realizes, when he believes that there's no one protecting me, assisting me, helping me. Allahu Akbar. Then he detaches himself from the deen. Then he adopts those methods that Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave. When a person's in distress, sadness, to save himself from distress or sadness, he thinks that no one's going to help me. Allah's not going to help me. I've got problems. Allah would have helped me before. Nauzubillah. Then shaitan gives mashwara. Don't worry. Take hold of this path, this solution, and help will come. He takes hold of the paths of shaitan, the non-sharia paths that Allah Ta'ala said, don't do this, X, Y, Z. He thinks I'll be successful. And then he falls into sin. Because he's taking the fitna fasad in life, at home, argumentation, problems, quarrels, fighting outside, quarrels outside. He loses hope, disappointment comes. How will my masla be resolved? How will my scenario be improved? How will I solve this crisis I'm in? Then shaitan gives him mashwara again, advice again. And just the wrong shaitani mashwara, consultation and advice of shaitan takes people's quarrels through to murder and fighting. So remember, all loss emanates from that time when a person loses hope in Allah's rahmah and mercy. That's why this is a major sin, and it is the root of all sins. The root of all sins. So the question arises now, that how do we save ourselves from this sin? How do we divert away from this sin? What solution has Allah given so a person can come out of the state of disappointment? When he brings back faith in Allah and hope, then he can eliminate his sins. So what is the solution that we need to adopt or embrace so that we can be saved from the sins? My brothers, for this, there's a very great solution, and there are examples in the Quran for this. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's whole life, his blessed life, gives a demonstration of the solution for this. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, their life gives a demonstration for the solution to this state of disappointment, distress, and losing hope in Allah. History teaches us in the lives of the Sahaba Ikram, the lives of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how the solution was presented to us. And there was one solution they had. And what was that? That in opposition to disappointment and losing faith in Allah is tawakkal Allah. Tawakkal in Allah. Trust and faith in Allah. To have total trust in Allah. Tawakkal Allah. When you have tawakkal, you will not have the state of losing hope in Allah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And where you have losing faith and trust and you are disappointed in Allah, astaghfirullah, then you can never talk to Allah. Two opposite things. Your shop's not flourishing, your business not flourishing, you're downtrodden, down, disheartened, you say, disheartened. Then you will not have tawakkal. But opposite to that is tawakkal. You say, why should I take interest? Why should I do wrong? Why should I take on the burden of this interest debt? I won't do this if it runs or not. Subhanallah. And this stays for a little while, this condition stays for a little while. I tell you this, for a little while this test runs. Allah's rahm is such that Allah Ta'ala doesn't want a person who has got tawakkal, trust and faith in him, and that Allah's rahmah does not rain down. This cannot occur. This cannot occur. That there's no example that matches the wife of Fir'aun, Bibi Asiya. She had concealed her iman from her husband. Because of Fir'aun, she concealed. And when Fir'aun realized that she is a person who has iman, she is a Muslim. And he was Fir'aun, obviously. And he found out. And he was about to punish. And imagine the punishment that on her body, that he inflicted harm on her body. A woman. And he'd say that, come, do you believe in me as the God or not? Tell me. So Bibi Asiya said one word. The point is this, that you are inflicting wounds on my body or harm on my body. You can control my body, but you cannot control my heart, because my heart is protected by my Rabb Allah. Subhanallah. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam passed by and he saw this condition and scenario. And then Bibi Asiya was there and she said, Musa, tell me one thing. That you are the Prophet of Allah, the Nabi of Allah. Please ask this from Allah. Say, Allah Ta'ala, please with me or not? Allahu Akbar. So he replied, Allah is so pleased with you. That he's waiting for you. The whole, the angels of the heavens are waiting for you. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is proud of you. Allah is proud of you. And Allah has said, Asiya, do dua. Pray. I will accept your dua. Subhanallah. So Bibi Asiya, she did dua that Allah, that please save me from these dhalims, oppressors who have imprisoned me or afflicting harm on me in my palace. Give me such a place in paradise that is in the shade of your rahmah, mercy, Allah. That she was never disappointed, she never lost hope in Allah's rahmah. So in the recordings it is written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors, and the palm that was given to her physically, Allah ta'ala would put the palace in front of her that she prayed for. In front of her eyes she saw it, subhanallah. So my brothers, when a person has tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah, and he realizes that he'll get the cure, and if I don't listen to Allah here and I break Allah's law, if Allah said something's haram and I adopt the haram methods, if I'm hungry, thirsty, whatever, distress, disappointment, problems, any sort of problem that's in front of me, but I will not adopt the means of that are in opposition to Allah's laws and ways and methods. I will not do wrong actions. I will stick to tawakkal Allah, trust in Allah. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes to the help of that person. Don't run around like a headless chicken for food and bread. Don't do wrong actions for food. Don't earn haram. Don't go towards the wrong means. Don't be immersed in disappointment and distress. All of the actions that make a person lose hope and faith in Allah, oh, no one's helping you, no one's assisting you. But tawakkal is opposite. That says that my Rabb is with me. My Rabb is with me. Why am I afraid? Allah is here to help me. Bibi Hajra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the one great woman in the wilderness, no one there to assist. And imagine we were in that position. She was in such a place. Imagine we're taken to such a wilderness, a darkness, nothing to eat, to drink, and high temperature, hot mountainous terrain, desert, and there are animals. You can hear lions and wild animals, ajeeb scenario in the night. You hear the noises of animals, bad position. The woman, she has a baby who is suckling the milk, and the husband leaves the wife at that time, leaves her, and he's taking the camel as well, the animal that he is, the transportation. Imagine that woman's situation. This is the example in history, isn't it? For us. And how Allah Ta'ala gave such a great example, subhanallah. Tawakkal Allah she had. Trust in Allah. And did she not feel down and disheartened maybe, or upset? Not a bit afraid, a little bit upset that what will happen to me? My young child, my baby, I cannot feed him, I cannot live on my own, the animals will devour us. And the husband's gone, he's departed. So she said, please listen, answer me, what's happening, why is this all happening, where are you going? No answer. And he left, and she said, please give me one answer. She asked her husband, that whatever you are doing, you're leaving me here with our child, and you're leaving your wife, there's nothing, we have nothing to our name. Are you doing this with your desire or Allah's order? And one answer, he said, Allah's order. Allahu Akbar. Then she, the great woman, what did she say? She said, okay, no problem. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. She said, no problem. Go. I have no need for you. I have no worries. And that same tawakkal, these are the actions of tawakkal that today until Qiyamah, if we go to do tawaf, this is the sign, the symbol, Safa and Marwa, the signs, drinking Zamzam, the Kaaba itself, it's the sign of the tawakkal of Hazrat Hajira and those great individuals from that time. Allah Ta'ala has shown us, demonstrated to us the symbols of their tawakkal. Have we not seen this? And on the other side was losing faith, losing hope, and being disappointed. Where will we go? What will we eat? What will we wear? Where will we get it from? What will happen to us? No crying, no shrieking. Who is the one who saves from animals? Allah. Who is the one who creates light in the darkness? Allah. At that time, that place, what did Allah Ta'ala make that great place, that environment, that terrain? It's become the markaz, the focal, pivotal point of the world. The fruits you can't get anywhere in the world, you'll get from that city, great city, subhanallah. The people run there between those two mountains, Safa Marwa, like mad people. They're walking up and down, up and down. And Noor ala Noor is a person who's traveling between those two mounts, because such a pious woman, her blessed feet trod between those two mountains. She had tawakkal on Allah. Do you ever think like this when we're walking between Safa and Marwa, when you're doing Sa'i? Has ever anyone thought to Haji that why are we walking between Safa and Marwa? That if we thought like this and went there with this purpose, then alhamdulillah, our lives would improve and change, because no sin would remain in that person's life who does Safa, Marwa, Sa'i with tawakkal, just like Hazrat Hajra. the question doesn't arise when a person does Sa'i, Safa, Marwa, that he doesn't depart there without tawakkul. Tawaf, there's tawakkul. Drinking zamzam, there's tawakkul Allah. Whatever action you do, ritual of Umrah, Hajj, you are doing it, which is a symbol of the greatness of their tawakkul, and Allah Ta'ala has preserved that till the end of time. We say, do this sin, I can't leave this sin, I do this sin, I can't leave it, I look with my eyes, what I shouldn't look at, what shall I do, I'm upset, and I have to sign the wrong checks and claim the wrong things, and I have to fill the stomachs of our children. Why? That this is the result of our deeds? Think about it. So who's left today? Okay, interest, right, goes with the flow of society. Okay, this is happening in the world, I can do this. I have to lie a little bit. What difference does it make? What will happen to me? No one's watching. I just do it for a little while. Alongside that, we're doing ibadah. Emphasizing ibadah. Which Rabb are we remembering? Who are we prostrating to? Who are we prostrating to? That we have put our nafs in front of the right actions? So this deception will not run, Allah Ta'ala says. This is not acceptable. We should leave all the multitudes of ways and take hold of the one right path. That's it. Take hold of and adopt the one right path, the straight path. If we live our lives, we should live our life like a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments, His boundary of deen that He's given to us, the sharia hadood, the boundary circle of Islam. Within that circle and boundary is rahmah and mercy. If we transgress that, we'll lose. Allah says the circle, the boundary of Islam with all the laws within is not a burden for us. Whoever lives within that boundary, he doesn't transgress that boundary, he stays within the circle of influence of Allah Ta'ala's deen, then the rahmah will rain down on him. Just for a few days he has to persevere. Difficulties for a few days. I've seen this in my life through experience. When there was nobody, Allah Ta'ala gave me a problem, a difficulty, such a difficulty that nobody can imagine the problem I had. Nobody can imagine. And a person like me, who is very naturally, very delicate, and I never thought of problems, and I never experienced problems. Wallahi, I say by Allah, one thing helped me at that time. Okay. Now look here, the person falls into a trap sometimes that shaitan makes a person lose total hope, and he makes him an enemy of the right. If that shaitan takes a person to shirk and kufr, that person who doesn't have iman, obviously he doesn't believe in Allah. And if Allah Ta'ala is close to someone, and if he's got trust in Allah, will a person do kufr? No, he'll ask from Allah. That even a person, if he doesn't have iman, for example, if he comes towards the deen, he'll ask Allah for health and for assistance and help. This is the life of a mu'min. A mu'min can never leave Allah's side and asking from Allah. Allah gives. I'll give you many examples of this. Many examples. We should ask Allah. Allah, you're the one to give, that I don't want to do the wrong actions, that no many days I'm hungry, it's your choice, if you give, you give. I was reading a letter of Hazrat Sahib in the morning, and the subject of that came to my mind. I read Hazrat's letters every day, and I asked Hazrat Sahib that sometimes I used to see Hazrat Sahib when we used to go to Haramain Sharifain, and then I used to depart from here, UK, and Hazrat Sahib would come from Pakistan, from Dera Ghazi Khan, from Gadai Sharif, and I would depart from here, from the UK, and Hazrat Sahib was zaif and old and weak, and that was his journey. So I wrote a letter to Hazrat Sahib, the Hazrat, that I feel like meeting you, so that you have a program to come to Haramain this year, in Ramadan. So Hazrat Sahib wrote back, replied. The reply was beautiful, because he would give tarbiyah. The mashayikh, they do tarbiyah, reformation of their students, even in their writing. Hazrat Sahib said that, you know my condition, Farooqi Sahib, my scenario. Even today I was reading that letter, I have no money, I have a straw mat that I sit on, that's all I have, and never have you seen that I've got a passport. So I have no means, nor do I know anybody. So you live in that country, very quickly you can make your passport, you can come, and you have time. It's only a week left now, so condition is difficult at the moment, I don't have anything. But if you want, you can meet me at a certain place in Medina, if you will. Subhanallah. He had trust, and then the next phrase was beautiful. He said, if you want to meet me in Makkah, then come to Babul Wada. You know where I sit, in that place, on that platform. 80 years, Hazrat Sahib wrote in front of Rukn-e Yamani, the corner of Yamani. The line is drawn all life long. That's where I met Hazrat Sahib. And that was the first meeting. And as Hazrat Sahib said, that corner coming from Rukn-e Yamani, the Yamani corner, you can meet me there on the platform that's here. Or in Medina, where I sit beneath the azan position. I sit there, you can meet me there. So from Fajr till the night time, Hazrat would be there, you can meet me whenever you want. And no food break, no rest break. No. Why? So the answer, Hazrat Sahib said, I'm saying this to you this for this reason, that this fakir, is every action is on tawakkal Allah, subhanallah. I've made niyyah, but Allah is the one who will give. So I didn't even arrive there. Hazrat Sahib had arrived already with the fadl of Allah. He didn't have a passport, he didn't have any money, he had nothing. Subhanallah. So my brothers, that a wali of Allah, there's no wali of Allah, no one can become a wali of Allah who doesn't have tawakkal Allah. How can that person be a wali Allah who loses hope and faith in Allah? That Allah is such a great, great Allah, Ta'ala is a great, He's our creator, that those people who have lost hope, they cannot attain. But the walis of Allah, they have no means, nothing, but they place total trust in Allah. And if one thing is created within us, that person leaves the losing faith in hope in Allah, that same second that person becomes the wali of Allah, subhanallah. So the friendship with Allah, it doesn't run due to how many khatams of Quran I've done, how many sujood, how many tahajjud have I prayed. No, this isn't the reason for the connection with Allah. The friendship with Allah, the path to Allah, the connection with Allah, it is due to another factor. Let's question our hearts, that the spiritual path to Allah's nearness is due to other factors, it is attained. So a person who has this as the means, these feelings, then he can never get left behind in the world. If Allah Ta'ala selects somebody, then he is the person who advances to the nearness to Allah. And this is the biggest test. Tawakkal, Allah is the biggest test. We need to learn and bring tawakkal into our lives. Otherwise we'll be drowned in losing hope in Allah. Shaitan will make us lose faith in Allah. He'll make us become disheartened that you can't sell this, you can't do this. Every second it comes to us, this job you're trying to do, this action you're trying to fulfill. No, you can't do it. You need to do it this way, and he'll take you to the wrong solution. Yes. It shaitan takes a person so far beyond kufr, beyond shirk, and he makes the person lose hope in himself, that he loses faith in Allah, lose hope in Allah, and then the person gets to the worst situation, that people commit suicide. Why do they take their own lives? Because they go to the brink of, they don't have no hope, no, there's no one to help me, I might as well just finish my life. They say, take their own life. Imagine a person, if someone else slaps you, would you accept it? Never. That, why did you hit me? But that person takes his own life. Such a big punishment gives to that individual, that you have lost faith in me, hope in me. And this increases. If a person doesn't control the feeling, then many people commit sins upon sins upon sins, and they get to that position where they take their own lives, because Allah's punishment increases. A person, if you want to stop and put a stop to the paths of haram, you want to stop sins, you want a pure good life, then go towards Allah's rahmah and mercy and live the life of tawakkal Allah. Next question. Next question. Now, which shop shall we go to where we can buy tawakkal Allah from? Yes, tell us where we can take tawakkal Allah off the shelf. Tell me so I can go with you as well. Yes, where can we go? Where do we get tawakkal Allah from? Which shop or center? Just because I spoke to you, has tawakkal come into your life? Okay, Mawlana Sahib, he says this and that. Have we become like him? Because we heard that they give information, the ulema. Alhamdulillah, the great favor of theirs from hadith and Quran, they explain things to us. They teach us. But this doesn't mean that they've said this and it has become. No, they first take us to the first step, which is the knowledge. Then the second step is to attain that condition. We think, oh, I've heard the bayan, I've heard the taqreer speech, and he's inspiring us, he's telling us, informing us that this is the case and this is what you need to do. If you haven't got this and this is what you need, a great favor of the ulema ikram, the respected scholars who deliver the knowledge to us. They spend their whole life delivering, they haven't learned Quran and ilm and hadith for no reason. For that reason, Allah will give them a great status. But don't just finish it there, that they've given us a message. Now that I've got the message, what do I need to do? I need to attain this maqam. So what I've told you, I am a humble servant. I am not of any use. MashaAllah, you are pious, great walis of Allah sitting in front of me. How can I dare to give you nasiha or explain to you? That's why I excuse myself in the beginning, that in this gathering I take a benefit of coming myself, that I want to rectify myself. I want to pull myself together. What is wrong with me? And today I know that I'm lacking these things that I'm talking about. And I cannot be safe from the sins. Because insan, the human being, is weak and shaitan is with us. That within a second, shaitan will wrap us up. He'll take us. And he makes us lose hope in Allah. Allah cannot help you. Nazbala, your du'as won't be accepted. And take all of this path. And he gives us the alternative, wrong option. And he'll take us down that route. So what do we need to adopt to be saved? Tawakkal Allah. Where do we get tawakkul Allah from? How will it come into our lives? How do we trust Allah? Tawakkul Allah. How do we get faith in Allah? So we should adopt this path. And I'll explain to you the path. Will you accept it? The solution? Put your hands up if you will do this action. If you'll adopt the path of tawakkul Allah, mashallah. Because obviously we need to progress in it after hearing everything. If you go home, I go home. What's the benefit of just talking and learning? Nothing, is there? Is there any benefit? No. So, okay, tawakkul Allah. What is tawakkul Allah? How do we embrace tawakkul Allah? Where will it come from? That what's the place that I have to go to? What do I need to do to get tawakkul Allah, brothers? The spiritual things, the spiritual solutions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, for our spiritual betterment, He has told us to go and do certain actions that will give us the solution. What is that place? That's the heart of the person, the heart. Where will tawakkul come into? Not the stomach, not to your hands. Where will it come to? Your heart. Tawakkul, the place of tawakkul is what? The heart of the human being, the heart. And the tawakkul of Allah comes into the alhamdulillah, no other place where tawakkul Allah comes. No other place. So at this point we've understood that tawakkul comes into the heart. And how will it come to our hearts? Allah Ta'ala has told us the method, the means to get tawakkul in our hearts. A great means or practice action to bring tawakkul into the heart. Allahu Akbar. The noble companions used to come. And someone would come from a desert location, a wilderness, village. They would come to the blessed company of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sit for a few moments and they would increase their iman. That person's maqam. Do you know what was their level? Allahu Akbar. That until Qiyamah, no other human being after the Sahaba can reach to the level of the dust on the feet, on the heels of the Sahaba. Even the walis of Allah cannot imagine that their level and maqam can reach to the dust on the feet of the Sahaba. Why? Because in the first sight of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba Kram could reach the station of Ihsan. Ihsan. Yes? Remember that point, that discussion we said? That when they did Ibadah, they would feel as if they are seeing Allah. Subhanallah. The first sight of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the first Ziyarah, the great golden generation, they would reach the Maqam of Ihsan. So all the madaris and all the gatherings of spirituality of the Holy Prophet ﷺ would totally affect positively the heart of the Sahaba, and they would become the greatest of all human beings who ever lived, and that those people we call the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, tawakkul Allah, everything came to them. So that same silsila is moving. The same action continues. Allah says, I want to continue that feeling and effect, that cause and effect. So when a human being goes to the company of a kamil wali Allah, then all the goodness is absorbed into the heart of that student at that time, and he becomes unique. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Allah says in the Quran. Today until Qiyamah, this will continue. Remember that when a person with true intention, sidq niya, goes to a wali Allah and sits with this niya, that I want to do my islah, rectification, improvement, and I want to distance myself from all spiritual diseases. I want to get spiritual solutions to my problems. I want to get tawakkul Allah, trust in Allah. And I want to reject the negativities of this dunya. I want to detach myself from the negative things of the dunya. Then there's only one means for that, one action. To go and sit in the company of a kamil wali Allah. A true, complete wali of Allah. Put your hand into his hand with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's blessings. Sohbat of the wali Allah, the connection, the company of the wali Allah is so great that the niyyah should be correct though. What is sohbat? That you should have the pure intention to have the good company of the wali Allah. What is sohbat of the wali Allah? There's an ocean, a sea, you want to bathe in that ocean. How will you bathe? The ocean will say, the sea will say, come, jump into me. I am pure and I will purify you, says the ocean. So when a student goes to a wali Allah, the awliya Allah, he shouldn't stand there with his hands together, think, what shall I do? No, jump into the ocean of his fares and blessings. That whatever you are, whatever you're doing, I want to adopt that. Whatever path you select, you should go with total yaqeen into that path. Total yaqeen. Yes, you can't do complaints and preconditions and I can't do this, I'll pick and choose. No. The student, he accepts that the teacher, the wali Allah, is such a man who will take me totally towards Sharia, to the nearness of Allah. Take hold of his hand and immerse yourself into imitating his lifestyle. Not just one. Many great individuals from our Qabreen, take any of them. Did they not go to their teacher? Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi. Then all of these students come to him. Such great personalities came to him. They had kitabs, ilmiyat, the heights of ilmiyat. And after that, Subhanallah, he himself didn't learn the ilmiyat, but they said that after meeting our Shaykh, we became the true alims. They said it openly, we weren't alims before. But before that, the dunya accepted them as scholars. Isn't it, Mawlana? Before that, people called them, accepted them as alims. They were great scholars. It wasn't the case that they weren't. But themselves, they said that we didn't have ilm at that time. Verily, we attained ilm at that time when we went to the great personality, our teacher. Now we've become alims. Now we understand what Islam is. Subhanallah. So my brothers, why do we waste time? Look, we cannot be saved from sins until we don't try. If we don't try. And for every conclusion or result, there's a cause. An effort. It's lazim, compulsory to adopt the company of a wali of Allah. Lazim, compulsory. And what will make a life of a Muslim good? Yes, Allah Ta'ala says until Qiyamah you'll get the benefits of it. Wherever you go, you will get the rewards and the benefits of what you're doing. Allah will never cease in giving. Who is the one who gives? Allah gives. Yes, so for example, you see that we're all here now. And people who are in the Western Hemisphere, when people started coming, what was there here before? There was nothing. There was no masjid here, no place of worship. But when Allah saw that my servants are about to come, they're going, they're migrating, people of the Quran are about to come, then here, could anyone think it that this will become a masjid? Many, 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 many years ago, and from far, from Hindustan, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, and other countries of the world, all of my respectful scholars have come. They would have come. Did anyone know that they would come? The scholars in the spread of Islam. Did anyone think that 4 Naqshbandi Khankas would be constructed in this country? This is Hazrat Faiz. 30-40 years when Hazrat Faiz said to me, "Go and open the Khanka." I said, "Khanka? They?" In Europe, the first Khanka in Europe with Hazrat Sahib's fares and ijaz and permission. Yes, and that place, the teaching started, the dhikr started. And look now, subhanAllah. So this is Allah's promise. That who can wipe away the deen? The true deen, who can wipe away the true deen? The question doesn't arise. Allah wanted to spread this. This will continue to spread. SubhanAllah. And the promise Allah has made to spread it, they will be the deputies of the Prophet of Allah Sallam. Who are they? The Awliya Ikram, the Walis of Allah, and the Ulama Haq, the true scholars. For them Allah will make institutions, Allah will give them food and cars and enjoy their life. Totally Allah will prepare the solutions for them in the world. So they can carry on doing the work of the deen. Allah says, you do my work, I will do your work for the deen, for the dunya. Allah says, I'll take care of your dunya for you. To the Walis of Allah and the scholars. So my brothers, don't make excuses that in front of Allah, I did the sin for this reason, I took haram for this reason, I consumed wrong for this reason. No, where Allah sends you, look, Allah Ta'ala has opened the path that here where we are in this environment, there are many means and ways to do wrong. But also there are ways to prevent doing wrong. And here you can see people become kutubs and ghawth, I tell you openly and clearly, from this same land. Wallahi, I swear by Allah. From here, women, you will see them become like Hazrat Rabia Basri. Women from this land, from this country. SubhanAllah. And those women who were walking around naked, who didn't have, but now they'll have niqab, they'll have dhikr in their hearts. They'll be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll be lovers of Rasulullah. And they're happening, it's happening now. Such women, they're developing their iman. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala doesn't delay in giving. Not just today, you're seeing someone today, he's walking around naked or in a bad state. We're laughing at that person. Oh, he's a sinner. SubhanAllah. A wali of Allah, you haven't even grabbed his hand, but you've become the pious person. SubhanAllah. As in Allah said in the Quran, Surah Mumtahana, that, oh, you believing women, that when you go to the Prophet, then take the guidance from Rasulullah, create the connection with Rasulullah, and then Allah said, "Ya, O my Prophet, do dua for them, and I'll forgive their sins. I'm Rahim, and I'll make them walis of Allah." Subhanallah. This verse is this. Has it stopped materializing? That we come across the world in a plane, we stop being believers? No, or followers of the Deen? No. So don't lose hope in Allah. Every person who commits a sin, he thinks Allah is not there to help me. I have to do wrong. If my house, my family will flourish, it will be. Otherwise I can't let my family. If I don't lie, if I do fraud, if I don't earn haram, then my family and my household cannot flourish. And then we do sajda at the same time. Is this tawakkal Allah? Is this not losing faith in Allah, trust in Allah? Tell me. What sort of Ashik Rasul are these? That are we, that what kind of people are we? We think we believe in Allah, we have faith in Allah. No, this is not the case. We are saying ourselves openly that our house cannot succeed until we don't take haram or lie or commit fraud or do wrong. How can our house or family flourish? Then we go on Umrah with that same money. What is this? Why has this come about? Wallahi, let's think, what is this? And just to end this, to be saved from the fire of Jahannam, one action we need, one action. We need to take the company of the Wali of Allah, the friend of Allah. And what will he bring into your life? He has a root, the root of paradise, and he'll make you smell that. My Shaykh, he made me smell that root, that branch of paradise. That's what the Wali Allah does. And when he made me smell that beautiful fragrance from that root, that branch, then the heart opens up. And every Wali Allah has that branch, that root. He has nothing else. He doesn't do any other action. He doesn't give lectures or speeches or lengthy statements. Nothing. He just makes the students smell the root, the branch. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you know? And the Shaykh knows, the teacher knows that how will this student succeed? Said loudly, from dhikr of Allah, wadhkur Allah. Shaykh didn't say anything else. Don't do anything else. My Shaykh said to me, don't do anything. I don't tell you to do anything. Leave the sins. Come. Let me teach you dhikr qalbi. Start doing dhikr of the heart. Allahu Akbar. Allah's promise, whoever remembers me, he will attain success. Subhanallah. So dhikr has that speciality that it removes all darkness and feeling of hopelessness. And in replacing hopelessness brings hope in Allah. Instead of lying, brings truth. Instead of fraud and losing your money, brings honesty. Is this not the case? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says that due to that root and branch of dhikr, the darkness ceases and you get nur. And from the company of the wali of Allah, you get the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Should we do this or not, my brothers? So come on, let's take the lantern, the torch. What torch shall we take? Which torch will we use to seek out the truth? We need the torch. Shall I tell you what's the torch? Shall I tell you? Iman, the torch of Iman. Lot of light and the torch of Iman. The light of Iman is very strong. Utilize that torch. Pray two rak'ah nafal salah and say, Allah, have mercy on me that I want to meet your friend. Show me the path to your friend so I can be satisfied and happy that he will show me the path. The friends of Allah, they don't have horns on their heads. The angels, you won't see them near the friends of Allah. They are normal human beings, like, they're human beings, aren't they? There's no special light emanating. So they walk like you, talk like you, eat and drink. They're not angels, are they? So how do you seek a wali Allah? Find a wali Allah. What's the method? The Allah Ta'ala has given you the torch, so seek the wali Allah through the torch, subhanAllah. Utilize the torch. Put the battery in the torch. What battery do we put into this torch? Allah's help. Allah, help me seek your friend. I put the cell in now, the battery into the torch. So show me Allah, where's the wali Allah? Then it's your destiny. Will Allah show you wali Allah in Manchester or Surat or in Baruch or in Dhaka? You will have to go there to find the wali Allah. I was sitting in Manchester when I was free from university. I did dua. Somebody told me this dua. From an honest heart, I did a dua. I remember I put the prayer mat out. At that time I said, Allah, people say there are walis of Allah in the world, your friends. My prayer is not correct. I'm not benefiting Islamically. Is there any wali Allah that you can show me to his destination, to his, where he is, that I go here, then everywhere, can't find a wali Allah. My heart, I feel like seeing a wali Allah. Then Allah should show me there. Manchester said, no. So it's your job to ask. It's Allah Ta'ala who will show you the guidance and show you the way. You have to accept Allah Ta'ala's solution. So I said, okay, fine. Allah Ta'ala said, go. Prepare for Umrah. And that was my first Umrah in my life. I am talking about switching on the torch. If you put the torch on, see how you get. So I went for Umrah. And I didn't understand things properly. It was Umrah about 50 years ago. I went on Umrah, first Umrah in my life. 40, 50 years ago. And I wasn't a person of understanding. Went to Makkah, Mukarramah, didn't ask for anyone help. How to do Tawaf, I read a book. Went there, I slept here and there. And it was an ajeeb journey. Anyway, there were many events that took place. I did dua to Allah. I said, yes, you will get, but you will get according to my preference. To such a place, Allah Ta'ala gave me a sheikh. Then I went to Umrah from one city to a city in Pakistan. I went to Karachi, because I used to go to Karachi, from Karachi. Then I went further to Punjab. Then in Punjab, I went to Dera Ghazi Khan. Then from Dera Ghazi Khan, that time, that from Multan, you had to go to the river Sindh, a very wide river you had to cross, and there'd be a boat crossing the river of Sindh. After crossing the river Sindh, then you have to go on by bus, then get to Dera Ghazi Khan. And not even there, then beyond that, I had to go Gadai Sharif to a village in the wilderness, tell me. And it was dusty roads and mud and animals, chickens, and may I be assigned, my life be given for that village. And there was a wali Allah sat there whose name was Hazrat Ali Murtaza Rahmatullah Alayhi. May Allah's mercy be upon him. Wallahi, first sight of Hazrat Sahib, yeah, he was a normal man, simple man. He wasn't like a peer and, you know, showing off for pride. He had a dhoti, izhar, and he had the imama, and he had a sheet wrapped around him. He asked one question. I tell you, when the wali Allah, when he shines the torch out the hair, he said, "Yes, Babu." He asked me in Saraiki dialect, "Who are you? Where have you come from?" I said, "I am from Dera Ghazi Khan." He said, "What do you want? Kya chandeo? What do you need?" Now, this is the time when a person attains and when he washes himself, subhanAllah. This is the moment, the key moment to seize the initiative that I need to attain Allah's nearness. Don't do drama then. I didn't say, I went two-faced that time. I said, Hazrat Sahib, I want to leave the world and I want to get close to Allah, subhanAllah. At that time, when I was at the peak of dunya, peaks of dunya was at that time. I had a lot of money all around me, and money and cars and degrees and big jobs were waiting for me. And what did Allah Ta'ala want me to say? I did dua, didn't I? I had asked from Allah. I want to leave the dunya, the love of the dunya. Can a person leave the love of the dunya? A person who does medicine, will he leave that? But here Allah Ta'ala detaches a person, yes. So brothers, Hazrat Sa'id smiled and chuckled and said, "This is the first young man who's come to me asking for this, subhanAllah." And he chuckled and said, "Inshallah, you will do dhikr and you will make others do dhikr, subhanAllah." Same time Hazrat gave khilafat. Same time, imagine. Imagine the power of that permission. And where was his vision? The whole of Europe, he had his vision on Europe. Imagine that dhikr will occur in Europe. You won't just do dhikr, you will host dhikr, you will teach dhikr. Sit down, he said to me. Batiyati, sit here. So my brothers, shine the torch. Tawakkal Allah, don't waste time. I swear by Allah. Maut, death is such a severe gripping of a human being. After that, nothing can be taken. Haram, haram, haram. In our whole bodies, there's haram. Sins and sins and sins are inside us. Our Quran is false. Our sujood are false. Our salah is false. Our every action is false, lying. And then, let's embrace honesty and we'll become honest. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself and your destiny. No, no, no. That becomes sadiq, honest, sincere with Allah. Every second, bear yourself in front of Allah in the court of Allah. Allah, I have nothing. Allah, I have nothing to my name. Allah, I have no ibadah, no worship. Allah, have mercy on me and save me from Jahannam. Allah, have mercy and save me from Jahannam. Save me from Jahannam. Severe, so severe is the fire of Jahannam. Jahannam is after Allah. The time of death is so severe. Forget about Jahannam. The time of death is so severe. How can a person have yaqeen? That have I got deeds in my life that I'll be able to recite kalima at the time of death? Will I? Tell me. Will I be able to? How Rasulullah gave us the dua. The prayer that Allah, when my life is being pulled out of, that Allah save me from that severity, that save me from the attack of shaitan at the time of death. I will be in a severe situation at the time of death. Dunya will be watching me, leaving me, I'm lying down, about to die, and people will, and there are things to recite at that time, isn't it? But Allah will say, now taste death. You thought you were wazir and minister, now taste death. Taste death. Look at the time of death. Don't trust the people of the world. Look at your amal, your deeds, and ask yourself, how honest are you? Ask yourself. The remember Allah with kathir and kathir in abundance. So wali Allah sohbat must. Whoever doesn't have the company of the wali Allah. Whoever doesn't have the company of the wali Allah. He is a mutakabbir. He is proud. He's got kibr inside him. He thinks I'm high. I don't need a wali Allah as a teacher. I've achieved. Ask our akabirin. Hindustan. They travel from India. If they had kibr, pride, then they would never travel to the company of the wali Allah. Never. Remember this point. Mutakabbir is that human being who thinks that I don't need a teacher, a sheikh, I am enough. I've got the knowledge. I'll do it myself. I don't have a need for a sheikh. I'm fit and I've achieved. I've got the knowledge. Impossible that person can ever achieve. Only that person will be saved who adopts this path, the correct path, who crushes his desires and assigns his nafs and gives the control of his desires to the sheikh, to the teacher. The amount of time we waste more, we'll be immersed and drowned in sins more. It may not be that the call of the grave comes and the call of death comes and we cannot save ourselves. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Don't waste time, brothers. And understand this path of tasawwuf, tazkiyah, dhikr is not a joke. Majalis of dhikr are not a joke. Very serious action, very serious subject. 1 second in the company of the walila is enough. It's massive enough. 1 second is enough. It was 1 second, one moment that I met my sheikh, and one moment that the sahaba, he came and he became a sahabi in front of Rasulullah. And one moment can transform the life of a person. Transform him. It doesn't take years. Yaqeen should be made solid. I need Allah's nearness. I want to distance myself from the mirage of this dunya. Alhamdulillah, disappointment, disheartenedness will end and tawakkal Allah will come. And tawakkal Allah hasn't even come and success will come. Subhanallah. So tawakkal is the factor, the condition we need to bring into our lives. Allah Ta'ala never leaves the mutawakkil person. He'll never leave him hungry. He will fulfill his desire that wherever he does dua, immediately what he's asking for will be achieved. Immediately. This is why I observed. You read this in the kitab, but I'm telling you from experience, alhamdulillah, from the company of the walis of Allah, we learn these facts. I've seen these facts in real life, in the sitting and at their feet, and you learn these facts that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears the du'as of the pious people, how their needs are fulfilled and accepted by Allah, how their demands, you could say, even their requests Allah ta'ala accepts. Tell me. There's no special chilla action. They adopted the right procedure. That they followed the path to get to the station of tawakkal. They took hold of the dhikr of Allah via the teachings of Wali Allah. And Allah takes that person to his nearness. Person, he falls down, stoops down, he commits sins maybe, but he slowly, slowly hobbles to the destination. When you sat in the car, you sat in the train, when you sat in the bus, doesn't matter how many there are bumps on the way and stops on the way, but eventually you'll get there to the end point. Even if you get late, your car, when you sit in the transportation, you'll get there, won't you? So at least let's embark on the transportation, take the hand of a wali Allah, listen to his words, then don't worry, then Allah is the one who will take you to your destination. He will deliver you to your destination. Wa akhru dawana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين دواب ياسين حبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وعزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة فقنا عذاب النار فقنا عذاب القبر فقنا عذاب الحشر فقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم فمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان أشهد يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين نبيين صدقين شهداء وصالحين بوصنا أولئك رفيقا يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. یہ خاتون نے آپ حضرات سے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, ان کی ضعیف والدہ کو نمونیا ہو گیا, ہاسپٹل میں داخل ہے, اچھی خدمت حالت میں نہیں ہے, ان کے لیے خاص دعا فرمائے. اللہ سبحانہ تعالیٰ کو صحت کاملہ عاجل نصیب فرمائے, اور جو جہاں بیمار ہیں جن عورتوں نے مردوں نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے ان کے حق میں دعا فرمائے, اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے لیے بہتر حالات فرمائے. تمام ہمارے ساتھیوں کے لیے جو مصیبتوں میں پریشانی میں اللہ تعالیٰ آسان فرمائے. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم انبئهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا. يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے, یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے, یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. All right.